Your home for classic hits. AM 1570, 96.9, and Boom 102.7 FM. WILO, Frankfort, Lebanon, Delphi.
TC Trailers. Oh.
Honey?
TC Trailers.
Honey, wake up.
What? What's wrong?
You were dreaming about TC Trailers again.
Oh, they do have over 300 trailers on the lot. Cargos, haulers, concessions, landscaping.
Mm-hmm.
They have that loaded parts store and their on-site repair shop for all makes and models, even warranty repairs.
Okay, we'll go tomorrow. Let's get some sleep.
TC Trailers, a dream come true. Stop in or visit tc-trailers.com. If you're not pulling a TC trailer, you're not pulling your weight.
People ask a lot of questions about Ivy Tech Community College. Like, can an Ivy Tech degree get me a good career? Well, some say good, and some say great. In 2 years or less, you can earn an associate degree or certificate, qualifying you for some of Indiana's fastest-growing career fields, and earning you an average of $37,777 the first year after graduation. Find your answers at ivytech.edu/FAQ. Then apply for free at ivytech.edu.
If you see someone smiling today, it's a sure bet they've been to the Big Deals online store. You see, the grin is just unavoidable on the face of someone who's saved up to 50% on gift certificates to local businesses. Plus, they spend just like cash and never expire, so it's pretty likely that smile is going to be there for a long time. Visit online or download the Big Deals app to shop right from your phone.
Just click on the Big Deals tab at ClintonCountyDailyNews.com, BoonCountyDailyNews.com, or CarrollCountyDailyNews.com.
Your free local online newspaper, ClintonCountyDailyNews.com, is your number one resource for information as you need it, right at your fingertips. We have news, weather, sports, obituaries, the WILO program schedule, over 40,000 community photos, online surveys, community events, and HoosierlandTV.com archives. Plus, click on the info tab to find out how you can contact your local and state representatives. Find out what the buzz is all about. ClintonCountyDailyNews.com.
Spring is in the air, and that means it's time for baseball and softball on Hoosierland TV. Get ready for exciting varsity action as the girls take the field for softball and the boys step up to the plate for baseball all season long. Every pitch, every hit, every big play, covered live with play-by-play from Don Stock and Kyle Etherington, bringing you the energy, the insight, and the hometown excitement you won't want to miss. From rivalry matchups to key conference showdowns, Hoosierland TV is your home for spring sports coverage. Grab your Cracker Jack and tune in to cheer on your favorite team, because the season starts now. Varsity, softball, and baseball live on Hoosierland TV. Tune in to Hoosierland TV for Tuesday, May 5th at 5:30 p.m. Girls Softball, Carroll versus Clinton Prairie. Brought to you by Welty Exteriors, Jerry's Body Shop, Solidarity Community Federal Credit Union, Wampler Services Incorporated, Norman and Miller Eye Care, Winsky Brothers, Encompass Credit Union, Barrett Farms Express, The Farmers Bank, Fiberhawk, Tier 1 Meat Company, Fire Pizza, and Frankfort Moose Lodge.
Welcome back to Party Line on WILO and Boone's Best 102.7, presented by Clinton Carroll, BooneCountyDailyNews.com, Big Deals, Big O Tires, Ivy Tech Community College, and TC Trailers. The online telecast at HoosierlandTV.com. That's brought to you by Mann Chevrolet, GMC in Delphi, Jerry's Body Shop, Lanen's Furniture and Mattress, Avery Home Store, Braden Business Systems, Copper Electric Services, LLC, VFW Post 1110, Marshan's Window Tinting, Ellis Jewelers, Witham Health Services, Tornado Roofing, Siding, and Gutters, Simplify Family Dental, The Community Foundation, Stone Alley Hardware and Industrial Supply, Wesley Manor Retirement Community, Newell Gas, Welty Exteriors, Arborwood by Shoups, Big O Tires, Sam I Am Carpet Cleaning, Solidarity Community Federal Credit Union, Day and Ginda Funeral Home, Culligan Water of Boone and Clinton County, Shoups Country Foods, The Farmers Bank, and 51 West Event Center. We do have our guests in studio this morning with us, and we welcome Clinton Prairie School Corporation principals from the high school, Kirsten Clark, and elementary, Luke Harlow. How's everybody today?
Doing great. Thank
good.
You.
So we're in the last month of school. I mean, officially kind of now. I'm sure it's a very busy time of the year for you guys.
I would say it's the busiest time of the year for at least our end, with activities and events coming up, with awards programs and graduation. And it's a busy time of year, for sure.
Is the testing part of the school season over, or is there still testing taking place this time of the year?
Yeah, the state window is still open.
Okay, we got to get you guys closer. We can't hear
sure.
you. Thank you.
Yeah, the state window is still open. The masses have finished. We're just kind of catching up on some who were absent and that kind of thing. So, yeah, we're nearly done.
Okay.
The high school, though, is just now starting this week with AP testing, so advanced placement testing. And we do have one round of iLearn for biology students that is this week as well. So for the next couple weeks, our AP students will be testing. But our iLearn is finished at the 7th and 8th grade level.
And talk about that. You know, those testing, it's changed so much throughout the years. And I always think in my mind, when we graduated, there was one diploma, and now there's how many diplomas? It's just so different. So,
well, and I find it fascinating, too, that the iLearn has changed from just, I'm used to it was just math and it was language, and now biology. I mean, you got different subjects now that are being tested. So, yeah, talk about how that's changed the schematics for you guys.
I mean, testing in general is, for logistic purposes, I hate to say it's a nightmare, but it's kind of a nightmare. The time out of class for those students and those teachers is immense, and the loss of instruction during that time is something that is always concerning to us. But, you know, this is a mandated by the government testing, so it's something that we have to do. But, yeah, English and math is every 7th and 8th grader in our building is doing English and math for iLearn. But then the biology part is a little bit different, because you can take biology as a freshman, you can take biology as a sophomore. So any student who's taking biology is also required to take the iLearn for biology. So, and you know, it's, yes, it is toward the end of the year, but there's still 3 weeks left in the year of 3 weeks, you know, that could be of new instruction. So to be taking a test that's summative over the whole year when there's still 3 weeks left is also, I think, kind of challenging.
Yeah, I was going to say, I didn't even know that was taking until my grandson, he's a freshman, mm-hmm. and he's taking biology. So he just finished with his iLearning testing. And I thought, what the heck? Because, you know, as a parent or a grandparent, it's like, I'm like you. The class isn't even over yet. They're being tested on a subject that they haven't finished yet.
And same for the English and math,
I mean,
because that was last month. So, you know, we have a month left, and it's difficult and somewhat frustrating.
What about from the elementary perspective? How did the kids do during, you know, it's hard to sit still sometimes that long when you're a child.
Yeah, right. Yeah, we've got testers for iLearn from third grade all the way up through sixth grade. Everybody does the English, language arts, and math, but there's also social studies, there's science, there's computer science, that's a little small portion of it. So, you know, our teachers are really great about just encouraging kids to do their best and to make sure they're prepared as possible. We've also limited it to 1 hour per day of testing. So the window is pretty large. It's, you know, early April to this Friday is when it closes for us. And so just doing it 1 hour a day so that we're not stressing, and it's untimed. It used to be timed. It's untimed. So we don't really know how long a test is going to take until we're in it and until it's done, because one student may need more time than another. And so we try to make sure that we accommodate our students as best we can while they're taking it to make it as least of a stressful event as we can.
Yeah.
With it not being timed, that has to at least take a little bit of the pressure off of the student. Man, it doesn't help you guys at all. Because of that, having those different time lengths, but it definitely has to take a little bit of that off of the student.
Yeah, I would think so. The state gives us an estimated range of how long it probably takes, but we've been on the short side and the long side of that all school year, also through our checkpoints that we've done throughout the school year. So, yeah, I think so. I'm sure some of these younger ones have never had a timed test, so they don't even know the difference. But yeah, I think it's less anxiety there.
Is all the testing done now on computer, or are we still doing any of this on paper now?
The iLearn is completely digital, unless you have an accommodation that says otherwise. But it's completely digital. Everybody's one-to-one, so they're taking it on their own Chromebook in the classroom. There's a login code. The teacher gets them all set up, so the teacher can monitor from their end. But yeah, all digital.
Well, and that's totally different now, too, because used to you had to go to the computer lab to be able to do it. Yeah. And now with everybody having their own, but that's got to be a lot of fun getting that set up too, when you've got that many students in the classroom and especially for that many kids in the grade and having to do, I feel sorry for the teachers. I mean, seriously.
Well, any time that you have a large group of students who are doing something completely digital, it's stressful because, you know, technology is great until there's a glitch or something's not working. And we've run into that over the years with the system itself, you know, and then you have to reschedule the tests. And so, yeah, it's... Well, it's a lot.
That's what I was going to say, because when you have all these schools, corporations all over the nation, because we're not talking just the state, not just the county, we're talking the nation is doing this. Yeah. I mean,
it gets bogged down
a lot. And that's gotta hurt, especially if you got to reschedule it.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
I don't like testing anyway, you can tell.
I was going to say, you're kind of reliving your youth here and not enjoying it, aren't you?
Well, no, because I didn't have any of that.
Mm-hmm.
We had, though, I don't even know what the standardized test thing was called back when I was in school. I mean, you guys are all younger than me. So, you know, I took one test in like fifth or sixth grade and never had to take another one after that.
No, we had more after that.
Yeah, nope. I didn't, and that's when I see all this, what all these kids have to go through. I see a need for it, just to see levels of where they're at and everything. But then I also see where it can hurt a school corporation having to take that much time out to do all of this. These kids are missing so much that they could be getting in class, because they're all stressed out and the anxiety that builds. I mean, what are we doing to our kids putting them through all of this? Because I think it's just a lot, especially at a young age. That's crazy. High school, I can see it. I mean, the kid from junior high and up, you know, they got to have that mindset of, yeah, I got to take tests, man. It's just the way it is. You got to study for them and everything else. But when you're starting this stuff in second grade and going all the way up, it's like that's a lot of pressure to put on a little kid.
Yeah, and there's a balance, I think. You know, testing is, from one perspective, giving us data and information on the student and how best to move forward with that student. We want to make sure that we, you know, meet the needs of each student, whether they're soaring high and above expectation or whether they're a little bit below and we're trying to bring them up. So from one standpoint, it's a good thing. But then from another, we're taken away from instruction and it's a difficult time.
Graduation is coming up towards the end of the month here. So your senior class is kind of, I'm sure, starting to get the senioritis, as I like
starting.
To
starting? Yeah.
They probably started back in August when they first stay in the building.
It starts earlier every year.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So graduation, what day is graduation? When are
graduation is Saturday, May 23rd at 10 a.m., and that's in the main gym.
I think we're very fortunate that we didn't have the weather that used to play a factor, or sometimes can play a factor, where you guys didn't have to use, you know,
right.
extend the mm-hmm. makeup days and everything. So, yeah, we got lucky.
Yep.
Are there anything, now that this class has gone through, have you thought about next year yet? Are you even to that point?
We've had our admin meeting and we've planned our first few staff days. And, yeah, we're already in the throes of planning for the 26-27 school year.
Well, are there any changes, you know, as we talk, you know, we're talking about testing and how that has changed, how there's more than one diploma you can get now. Are there any other big changes that you're seeing coming in maybe for next year, 26-27?
There is a new state accountability model for schools, and that's how we're going to get our grade. They're going back to the A through F letter grades, and so they've revamped the whole system, which is fairly complicated, if I can say that. And so we're still trying to kind of dig through that and figure out how that's going to work and how we can best utilize what's there in that model to get points. It's a whole new process. Testing is part of that, but there are lots of other factors that play into it. So we're going to have some professional development on the accountability model itself.
And I'm sure there's some adjustments when you're switching to a new format again, even though it sounds
absolutely.
Like it's kind of been the A to F before, but there's always new nuances and quirks that go with it.
This new model is very in-depth and complicated for every grade level.
Who creates that?
The State Board of Education.
That's what I wondered. Mm-hmm. So you have to follow what they're doing.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's just the way it is.
I knew they did, but I didn't know if do any of these local teachers, do they have a say in that, or is it some people that aren't teachers anymore sit up there and make that decision? I know you may not want to answer that, but
I can.
And I can tell by the look on your face, I already know the answer.
I can honestly answer that because I have worked with the State Board of Education for several years through different positions in different areas, and honestly, there's hardly anybody in education on that board. And that gripes me more than anything.
There are different drafts that have come out over the year, and there is a time period for public input on each draft. So that's where we can put our voice in, and that's not a time for us to say this isn't going to work or to complain about it, but to provide, you know,
feedback
yeah. and, you know, maybe some different ideas, but
yeah,
this plan was just put in place, and it still isn't completely, because the governor has to sign it, the attorney general has to sign off on it first, and that part's not done. But the new model will be used for this school year's grade, so it's not fully in the law yet, but we'll be using it for the 25-26 grade.
But at least you've got to look at it so that you can prep for it.
There was some prep that took place right here at the end too, with a new something they put in the last draft that was going to affect our seventh graders. So we had to really get on that pretty quickly to get information to parents and get it back before the end of the year. And so it's kind of a rush to get things in and accounted for.
Got
to
be a little frustrating too. It'd be a lot easier if it were for not this upcoming school year, but for the next one. I mean, kind of like how some of the financing and stuff happens, you know, it's a year or two off. But yeah, to try and rush and get that all put in and not only train yourselves, but then turn around and train your teachers and then try and prep the parents and the students.
Correct.
Yeah.
And we always say, you know, teachers, they'll get it done, but it is taxing.
Sure. Clinton Prairie School Corporation principals from the high school, Kirsten Clark, and elementary, Luke Harlow, are our guests on Party Line today. And let's switch over to Luke a little bit. We are, again, in the last little bit of school here. And so as you have gotten through this year pretty much most of the way, what changes are you looking to make for next year, or if any at all, maybe?
You know, Clinton Prairie, we're blessed to have a fantastic staff, and so we're excited to retain those individuals. And as we move into next year, there's not any massive changes to what we're doing. We want to continue on what we're doing. We do have a couple of things that the state has put in place for us as well. There's a math screener now that's a requirement from the state, just for students K-1-2 to really get a gauge and an idea of their math abilities so that we can handle and make sure that we connect with those students appropriately. But from a perspective on if we're going to change a lot of things, no, we're in a good spot and we've got a strong staff, and so we'll continue on.
The early education, it just boggles me. We keep teaching younger and younger and younger. So now that, of course, we're older, obviously that is showing in numbers and studies that it's important. So talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, it's important. You know, a lot of it based on the expectations that schools have to have students take these tests at young ages. We want to help them become as prepared as possible. So we talked last time we were on that we have this 3-year-old and 4-year-old preschool programs. And that serves the community in a number of ways. Number one, it's a place for you to have your kid go when you go to work. But also it's academically based and sound so that, you know, they don't even know that they're going through the academics, right? They're having so much fun. They're playing games, but the teachers are introducing letters and numbers and social interaction and all of these things that are important. So, yeah, we get this little bit of a head start with the younger ages. and we've got some good staff to do that.
Well, and speaking about pre-K and kindergarten too, I know you've already had your registration period and everything. Do you know yet? Have you gotten all the numbers and everything? Do you know if there's still some openings for those who maybe missed those dates?
Yeah, so this week we're kind of finalizing some of those numbers. So our preschool's numbers there, we've got a strong number for each of those where we're going to be able to fill up those three and four classes. Kindergarten, our registration is still open. I know we'll have, you know, I think it's pretty normal to have some trickle in, trickle out over the summertime just based on where their family's going and what's happening in their lives. And so, yeah, still open. We're gonna work on closing down the preschools this week, but kindergarten is still open for registration.
You mentioned in there staff, and I know that you guys have a great staff over there. Is everything full? Are you looking for teachers for next year? If so, what positions do you have, and what are your needs there?
Yeah, we are looking. We have a handful of positions available. In the elementary, we have a developmental preschool and transitional kindergarten classroom that we're looking for a teacher in. We have a special education position that would work with our third and fourth graders. And then we also have a half day, a part-time AIM teacher. So that's some of our students who are accelerated and working a little bit higher level. Those students pull out of class at times and go work with that teacher to work on their level. And so we have a half-time position that we're looking for there. I know the high school has more.
Yes, so we have a couple positions or a few positions available for next school year, one being a special education teacher as well at the high school level or 7 through 12. We also have a science position. Right now it's, I should just say science, but we have a retirement that's coming up, so we're looking for someone who's chemistry, physics, if that doesn't work out, just science, so we can switch some things around in the department. And then we're also looking for a band teacher, band director, and that would be grades 6 through 12. So those are the three positions we have available right now for the 26-27 year.
Plea to the community. What do you need from the community? What do you need from the parents? What do you need from the locals around? What's something that would make your jobs or your lives easier as educators from the community?
Just a continued support of our staff who have dedicated their lives to the children of this community. I tell the kids that a lot. Like everyone in this building, from bus driver, custodian, lunch lady, teacher, all of us are spending our lives, you know, to serve you and to make your life better and to educate you. So really just a continued support from our parents and the community at large for our staff.
And it is Teacher Appreciation Week as well, right?
It is. It is.
So do you guys have any plans for Teacher Appreciation Week? Are there any special things happening?
We have something every day at our end. We have a lunch today that's being provided by one of our parents who does some catering. We have just special things throughout the week, little gifts that we've gotten. We have another lunch that the FFA is providing for our teachers on Thursday. Some special treats like crumble cookies, which, you know, teachers, we all love a treat. So we have a game that we are playing at our end all week long that's based on the TV show Traitors. We have kids that we are videoing, taking special notes to teachers throughout this week. So yeah, we have lots planned. It's always a fun week.
Sure.
And I'll say, working in the high school for the last 5 years too, like, Kirsten's awesome at that stuff, and so now I have this really high bar that we're trying to come close to in the elementary, and thank goodness in the elementary we have Hillary Guffey as our assistant principal, and she's fantastic, and so she kind of took the lead on Teacher Appreciation Week and is trying to tell our teachers that they've done a great job. And so we've got things every day this week as well, lots of food, just ways to help teachers, you know, feel appreciated. Today we have cocoa beans in the building for coffee for our staff, and just a day where they can wear some comfy clothes. That's why I've got the sweatshirt on today, just being comfy. But we have Chick-fil-A coming in. We have a taco bar on Friday that's provided by our PTO. And our PTO has been absolutely fantastic, too. They've spoiled us all year long. And so we're very happy to have their support as well.
Sounds like food is the ultimate.
The way to their heart. I like that.
Well, you know, I can't beat that. That's what I was going to say. That's kind of what we do
too. We'll never say no to food. I won't.
Yeah, no, we get that. Well, we actually have a caller who has a question for you guys if you're up for it.
Okay. Somebody's going to have to put headphones on. Let me see who the caller is, and I'll ask
It's Carl.
Oh, hi, Carl. How are you this morning? I can't hear him.
Oh, might help if I did that. There we go.
Carl, to get her cowboy coat off.
Okay,
she said I'm real good.
Okay, good. We've got you on that. Is this just a general question? Because they're going to have to put headphones on, and there's two of them. So are you thinking more high school or elementary?
No, I'm just thinking, do they have money set aside to give the teachers a raise? Our teachers are so underpaid throughout the state of Indiana. Do they have money to raise the teachers' salaries?
Well, I could hear him without putting it on. So
I turned it up so maybe you guys could hear him. So
we love our teachers, and we would give them all the raises that we could if it were up to me as an individual. But there's a lot of things at play. Our leadership from Dr. Boddicker, you know, she's done a great job of making sure that our school is in a great financial state given our circumstances as a state, and so. You know, we try to do those things, and we try to be financially responsible at the same time.
Well, I just think, now they raised our property taxes way up. Mine went way up. I mean, way up. But I don't care, because the schools need that money. The schools are broke. Are you broke like Frankfurt?
Listen, I wouldn't say we're broke, no, but we are trying to be fiscally responsible, and that is a negotiation process between our leadership and the teachers association. So Luke and I don't really have a lot to do with that. But like he said, you know, if it were up to us, they would be making a lot more.
They should be. They should be. They're down there with Walmart pay, you know. Hey, God bless all of you, and I feel so sorry for our schools. I feel so sorry. And God bless all of you, and have a wonderful day.
Thank you, Carl. Thank you. All right, take care. Well, you never have to know where or have to question where Carl stands on something, right?
Yeah,
he's just going to tell you straight up. Anything else you guys would like to add? I mean, we've got a couple extra seconds here. Anything else would like to add?
Yeah, I was just going to say, you know, Dr. Boddicker and I had the opportunity to go down to the State House a couple of weeks ago to celebrate our third grade iRead scores from last school year.
Congratulations on that, by the way.
Yeah, so the state was honoring any schools that had scored at had a pass rate of 95% or better. And from the 2025 school year, our elementary students passed at 98.8%.
Wow.
Absolutely knocked it out of the park. And so we're super proud of our students. Super proud of our staff who lead those students. This year, we're still working on finishing some of that up and getting the score back, but we're hopeful to have another high score, another high pass rate year, just to show that our students they're becoming readers, they're understanding what they're reading, and that just does so much for them as we move through being able
Good
to have
that
skill.
Good for you guys. Congratulations.
I got one question that I'd like to slide to Kirsten, because I know this is something that you've been working on. A lot of schools are looking at online classes for the high school kids because of maybe family dynamics are changing. These kids are having to work to help support their families, all of that kind of stuff. But I know that's something that Clinton Prairie's been working on.
We did start a virtual academy this year.
That's what I thought.
We did start that this year. And like you said, you know, there are different circumstances for every student out there. And, you know, the traditional classroom doesn't work for everyone. So we started last summer that planning process, and we do have students in a virtual academy through Clinton Prairie. So they are still Clinton Prairie students, but they are online.
Does that mean as a Clinton Prairie student then that they're able to get funding from the state like a regular student?
Not 100% funding, but yes.
Yeah, I'm hoping that changes because, like you said, it brick and mortar doesn't work for everybody. And with the online, sometimes it makes it easier for a kid that's located somewhere else, maybe too far to drive it every day, and especially now with the way gas prices are, but to be able to participate in a school that they want to participate in.
Correct.
Because there is no tuition anymore. The
Correct.
Tuition went out the window. So, you know, online classes, I think Do you think that's going to be for the future? Do you see that growing, not only for you, but I mean for education as a whole?
Yes, I believe so. I think it's grown a lot just over the last few years. Probably, you know, since COVID, there were students who didn't come back to a traditional school after COVID. And I think sometimes too, though, that it can be a temporary situation for a student, you know, that they're having a rough year or a rough semester and they just need some time to, you know, to collect themselves and to maybe get, you know, something outside of school that they need. But then they may determine that they're ready to come back, and that's great. You know, we welcome them back. I think there's no better way to be educated than in a classroom with a teacher, a live teacher. But again, that doesn't work for everyone. So it could be a temporary situation. It could be long term. But we're here to support all of those students.
It's so funny. Never once did I ever think back to my school career, elementary or high school. Did we ever talk about mental health? Talk, and I know we're keeping you over for just a little bit here, but talk about how that impacts your day now, and the teachers as well.
I think mental health, and I agree with you. I don't recall, you know, I graduated from Clinton Prairie in 1993.
It just wasn't talked about anywhere back then.
No. But it is a pretty big focus of what we do now. You know, school isn't just school in the aspect of their learning, you know, reading and writing and arithmetic, if you will. But we are providing services that, you know, that aren't your traditional school. We are worried about their mental health. We are worried about...
It's not just an education anymore.
It's not.
No.
It's not.
It unfortunately, school has become part of the family.
Yes.
For a lot of kids, because that's where their support system's at.
Sometimes, yeah. It's their safe space. You know, it's possibly for some students where they're getting their only meals of the day with breakfast and lunch. You know, and we hate to think that way, but that is the reality anymore. And yes, it's their support system, and their counselors and their teachers are the ones they feel like they can really go to and talk to. But on the same token with that, I think sometimes that is a burden for staff to, that's some sort of secondary trauma that you carry with you too, knowing what your students are dealing with outside of those walls, and that can be taxing on our mental health as well.
I agree with you. And, you know, Carl had said one time, we just had Carl on, and he said that he doesn't see lack of food in our community, in his life. But you're shaking your head already, but it's true. You see it every day.
Yes. Yes.
So we have students that are hungry.
Yes. And we have ways that we have facilitated meals for families this year and every year. I mean, we're there for that as well.
Yeah.
We're going to provide whatever we can.
And I think all the school systems are in
yes,
the same boat.
They're, absolutely.
And I know you guys, I think we're extremely fortunate in this county where all our schools work together. You don't see that a lot in different counties, different municipalities. We see it here, though. And I think that's, we're very fortunate in that.
We're together a lot at different meetings, and, you know, CTE and our superintendents meet regularly with each other, and, you know, admin. So, yeah, you're right. We do try to work together.
Yeah.
It's just hard to believe in a community that has such a farming background in this day and age that there are still mm-hmm. children that are hungry, but mm-hmm. there are. So, I don't know. Anything else you would like to add?
I'd just say, you know, we're in May. We're excited to be in May. Our kids are a mixture of excited and ready to be done. In elementary, I'm learning it's a completely different world in May and in April. And so the sun's shining outside, and, you know, they want to be outside. They're itching to be out there. But we've got some fun things coming down the pipe. We have our field days and some award days for our students here towards the end. And so, we're just thankful that you have us on today. And we're ready to kind of wrap things up and make sure that we finish it well and start prepping again like we talked about for next year.
Well, we appreciate you guys coming on. We really do. I think it's important for our communities to understand where our schools are at, what's going on, what the needs are, and what better way to get that than from the administration. So, no, we appreciate you guys coming on.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Thanks for having us.
good luck with the last few weeks.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you so much. We appreciate you as well listening to Party Line right here on WILO and Boone's Best 102.7.